FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/10/18. Just three more weeks left to, I don't know, how do you describe this year? Amazing, incredible, beyond words, beyond description, beyond belief, and all of the above. Hey, well, as always, we love when you participate, when you email us, and the email address, so simple, kl@kerrylutz.com. So market is what's happening now, the long-awaited bear market setting in, or is it just another setup to a higher market? What about gold and oil and all those other things, the dollar, the VIX, etc.? Well, person who tracks all these markets and many, many more, Charles Nenner, and you can find him at charlesnenner.com, charlesnenner.com. Charles, welcome back to the show.
Hey, great to be back again.
Hey, so, well, what do you say about the market? It pretty much got close to your target, your short-term target. Now it's pulling back. Is this the start of a bear market, or is it just a fake out?
Well, it's all a matter of definition. We went out already in January, played some bounces, but actually we're 100% out of stocks since January. And if we're looking for a low around the middle of December. So we're looking for 25.55. Today was 25.85 on the S&P. So that's only third people away. So that's pretty close. We're looking for a short-term low somewhere in the middle of December, but it doesn't look like much for the moment. I think the whole mess will continue into the end of the first quarter of next year. Then we see something of a bounce, but things don't look good. There's actually nothing that looks positive. When we went out of the stocks, there was no reason actually to go out of the stocks. We just did it based on our cycle work. But today, if you look at different things, the earnings don't look that great that are coming. The difference between the 10 and 2-year yield doesn't look good. If you look at the Buffett indicator, the market is too expensive. If you look at what happened every time that the unemployment was around 3.8, there was a market crash. If you look for the last 100 years, you can find it. Contrary of what everybody will tell you, that a low unemployment is good for the market. So there's a lot of things that have nothing to do from the day-to-day news. If you look at the smart money, on Sunday I sent out a chart of the Dow and the smart money. And the smart money is already going out a long time before it started. So it's a long-term view that this market is weak.
Mm-hmm. So you're still thinking Dow 5,000?
I still think Dow 5,000 will take another 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a protracted, prolonged bear market. So what's that going to do to the country as a whole?
Well, not so much, because Dow 5,000 was in the middle of the 90s and there was still existed United States. Just we're in, as you see in the United States and you see in France, and now we're in the 60 years social cycle. That means there's going to be a lot of social unrest all over the world. There's danger for wars. So we're going to be in a difficult political environment.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, we're looking at what's going on in France there, the so-called Yellow Vest Rebellion, which Yellow Vest is kind of a joke, because you're forced by the government to keep two yellow vests in your car in the case of an emergency. So now they're turning around wearing these yellow vests in the public square as they demonstrate. You've seen mass arrests, water cannons, tear gas, and still there's no bringing this under control.
It's the same thing as in the 60s.
Yes. And that was 60 years ago, right?
Right.
I'm pretty sharp on the numbers. So
yeah.
Yeah, 60 years, 67, 68, 69. Those were the peaks. And 70 and 71, then Vietnam kind of fizzled out. And then so did the social protest movement. Are we going to see it fizzle out again this time, Charles? Or is it going to be more sweeping and lead to falls of government, which it already has? Let's face it.
It's just starting.
Yeah.
It leads to falls of governments, because what they call populism, I don't even know exactly what it is, but it takes over the whole world, the whole world, the Western world. So that's already the fall of existing systems of diplomacy and governments.
Yes. Well, hey, that's as opposed to unpopulism. I think the existing elites of each country's government, regardless of their parties, those are the unpopulists. They're just, they're out of favor. So is it just a question of this is a trend of preferences, or is this a much deeper trend that will lead to profound change in the West and the East?
Well, that's a difficult question that I don't think I'm the right person to answer that question.
Mm-hmm. So, but for now, we have to deal with it. So, hey, let's look at some of our other markets that you watch. So obviously you're bear on stocks, but it's a protracted bear market that you're calling.
Yeah, but we could have a rally in January.
Sure. And it could go back to where it was or higher, right? You have those intermediate rallies.
No. It's just going to be a bounce.
Just a bounce.
Yeah.
Okay. So what about oil? Oil was down to $50 WTI. Now OPEC, Russia, they're going to cut back production. Is the declining oil price, and I understand you focus on cycles, but what is the declining oil price telling us? Economy going down, or is it supply going up, or what's happening?
It's telling us deflation.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talks about it because nobody actually knows what it is. People who are in charge of financial businesses, you know, made the, let's say the 40, 50 years old, 60, they remember inflation, don't know about deflation. We have an inflation almost not even 2%. If this economy turns down and everybody agrees it's going to turn down, they disagree when, then we cannot have any inflation left. So the commodity market is already turning down. We have, in about 10 days, we have a short of cycle low in crude. We're still short from 75. If people want to know how it was calculated, it was very simple. You can go to our website and ask for that research. And now we should have a bounce for a while. But longer term, you know, for a year, the oil price is going down. It could go as down as low as $36, $35, which, of course, will bring unrest in the Arab countries because the budget cannot be closed. And it's a big mess all over.
Mm-hmm. So you think long-term oil's coming down to the mid-30s.
Right.
Wow, that'll be scary because, these countries, you're going to see another so-called Arab Spring here where they just wipe them all out, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting.
Remember, the Arab Spring started in Tunisia over there because Russia had fires and the wheat price went through the roof. And Tunisia and Egypt are the biggest importers of wheat all over the world. So the wheat price went through the roof. And that actually was the start of the Arab uprising. So the same can happen with low oil prices.
Uh-huh. So hey, what about copper? So we can expect copper to decline in price too?
Right. Copper should also be longer term going down.
But right now it's not economical to mine copper at its current price, long run, you know, high $2, low $3. We need $4 copper to make it sustainable for the future. How is that going to work? We're going to see declining output in these mines, aren't we?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Radruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimin Sakari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. form. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, it's not so complicated. There is, again, you can get it from us if you ask for it. We give out research for free for a while. Mm-hmm. There is a commodity cycle for the last 200 years. And if you know where we're in a commodity cycle, you know exactly what's going to happen to crude and copper. It doesn't happen at random. It happens every so many years, like social unrest happens every so many years.
Mm-hmm. And so we're talking commodities. What about agricultural commodities? They've been kind of all over the place recently.
Yeah, they're still going sideways, but we are actually long wheat for longer term, and we're waiting for other commodities like corn next year to hit a bottom.
Corn should hit a bottom. Yeah, because you see, just divorcing from the cycles, looking at fundamentals, whatever they are, which are always hard to predict. But we do see that Trump approved corn, ethanol, and gasoline to raise it up from 10 to 15%. It's going to result in more corn being consumed for a questionable purpose, for sure. So, all right, and finally, precious metals.
Let me just interrupt, say something sure. That might interest you. Like all these ideas about things go up or down, actually, I have no idea. Did we ever talk about the years ending with a 7?
Yeah, I think I don't know if I spoke to you about it, but others. So, yeah, let's talk about the years with the 7.
Yeah. So every time that there is a 7. A year ending with a 7, there is an end of a bull market. So that's why the end of 2017 we sold. Mm-hmm. 10 years before 2007, we know what happened, 2007-8. 10 years before, 1997-98, the Asia crisis, we know what happened. 1987, I don't have to tell you. You can go all the way down. So we have no idea why that is. It sounds ridiculous.
Yes,
it does. You just have to know these things. And it's the same thing with corn. I got corn prices going back 3,000 years. I built the cycles, and I have no idea what the weather is going to be, but it perfectly follows the cycles.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's following the cycles. So the cycles, you ignore the cycles at your peril, obviously. So,
well, no, but nobody actually watches the cycles.
Yeah, well, except you and half a dozen other people who I know who are probably amongst the best forecasters out there.
Yeah, but that's the only way. I don't know how other people invest if they don't look at how they don't know how to calculate market levels and cycles and timing. I have no clue. Nobody ever explained how they do it.
Yeah. Hey, what about, did you ever investigate the real estate cycle? It's a little hard to do because, especially for home prices and such, but I guess with REITs, you could actually kind of forecast the real estate cycle, couldn't you?
Well, what you can do is you can look at the home builders. Mm-hmm. They have a pretty good cycle, and they always come first. So the home builders are down, 40% already from the high?
Right.
We've seen that before in 2007, and the real estate follows.
Mm-hmm. So indirect measure, if you will, but nonetheless highly correlated to the actual ongoing cycle in real estate. And hey, finally, we get to gold. So you were expecting a big move.
Right.
At the end of the summer, it kind of got put off a while. It looks like it's starting to move now. What are the cycles telling you about precious metals?
It is hanging around. We play some moves up, some moves down, but it will take another half year until it really gets going.
Mm-hmm. So you're figuring another 6 months.
Yeah. But it will be surprisingly strong.
Yeah. And even now, they haven't really... They got whacked. They went down, 7-8%. Not a big decline, down to just under 12, just south of 1,200. Now they're in the mid 1250s. You know, it's in the mid 1250s. Gold and 1245.5, 1243 is what Kitco is telling me right now. So we're going to look forward to more of that zigzag until it finally puts in its final base and then moves higher?
Well, we have a cycle top again coming up in 1 or 2 days, so then gold should be weaker again, but not really weak. It's just going nowhere.
Mm-hmm. And you'd think with all the turmoil in the world, all the craziness going on, gold's traditional traditional function was a hedge against chaos. It looks like we're having more chaos than ever before. Do you think that the world's perception or the investor class's esteem in which they hold precious metals has changed over the years?
Well, the question is there more chaos than before? I'm not so sure. It's just that the social media tell us everything was going on. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's so. Do you think there's more chaos than years before? I don't think so.
No, you don't think?
No, where's the big chaos then? Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't. I mean, I don't know where the was such a chaos. They don't. They have problems with Trump. Okay, and yeah. Europe. You know, I don't know. There's not such a big chaos.
Yeah, well, I guess they're not rising up with the pitchforks yet, right?
But, no, not yet.
But what about the UK? I know you follow UK markets and this whole Brexit thing, and then they're trying to sell out the country on the Brexit deal. Are they close to becoming like another Paris here?
I really, you know, I was Monday, I was on CNBC, and I talked about oil. And after that, then they wanted me, and I was on Iraqi television, and they started talking about OPEC. And it says, listen, gentlemen, I can tell you what the oil price is going to do. I don't know about OPEC, all that stuff. And they didn't get that. They should ask me what the oil price is going to do. Yeah. Then came a television for Manila.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? I'm going to play the game like everybody. So before I knew it, there was talk about politics, about the Kurds and Saudi Arabia and Russia, who knows what. And then gave Bulgaria television all on the same day. Mm-hmm. And then already became an expert. And the funny thing is that I was quoted in all kinds of American newspapers. And it was just saying whatever I came up to me. It's amazing how these things work. I mean, nobody really knows that. The only thing we know is what's the crude price going to do, is going up or down and when. And let the other guys figure out why it happens.
Yeah. Oh, sure. I totally agree with you there. Because like you say, you can't predict this stuff. You don't know what's going to happen, but you can watch the cycles and let the cycles tell you, right?
Right.
So we're in this era of increased social unrest, social uncertainty, right?
Correct.
Is there a way to invest in social unrest? I mean, do you like buy producers of tear gas and riot shields? What do you do here? Do you like invest in private prisons because there'll be more people thrown in jail? I mean, what does it do for you to know this?
You know, I never thought about it. Let's talk next time. Let me think about it.
Okay. I mean, you must, there must be a means of investing in social unrest, right? There's got to be a way. I'm surprised there isn't a fund or an ETF.
You know, it was in Israel, the Palestinians are always burning Israeli flags. So I thought, you know, maybe manufacture Israeli flags, you know, they need them all the time. But I don't know this answer to what you're asking.
Okay. Well, I find the whole thing fascinating. And it's always fascinating speaking with you, Dr. Nenner. And we really appreciate you coming on. Again, we suggest you go take a look at the site, Charles Nenner. That's Charles, NENNER.com. Click for the free trial. It's right up there on the right side with the green button. And take a look at it. Take a look at Dr. Nenner's works. It's really fascinating to watch. And, hey, the cycles don't always correspond, but they certainly do. They might not always repeat, but they certainly do rhyme, don't they, Dr. Nenner?
Yes, correct.
All right. Hey, and if you've got a question for Dr. Nenner, myself, just email us, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you're listening on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share. If you're not listening on YouTube, you're just listening to a podcast, share it with somebody. I think the information contained here is valuable. You don't find it much else. You don't find it many other places. We have so many voices here. Charles Nenner is just one of many, but from all these voices, you get to see a pattern yourself and you start to get an idea of what to do. Anyway, that's it for now. Charles, we'll talk to you again real soon. Be well.
Okay, thank you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.